Hi, I'm Vicki Griffin, and welcome to Living Free. Glad you've joined us. If this is your first time tuning in, this is part of a series on overcoming addictions and building better habits that last. So let's begin with a personal testimony that sets the stage.
I guess you could say my pathway to addiction began when I was a little girl. My birth mother abandoned my sisters and I while my dad was away in the military. And eventually my dad did get a discharge from the Army and came home, met my stepmom, they married, and I wish I could say that it was a lovely, happy family. But unfortunately, as often happens, my parents brought with them pain from their childhood, and unfortunately it was projected onto us children. So as I grew up, I began to make decisions and choices for myself, and I decided that the church was no place for me. It was full of hypocrites, I thought, and I didn't want any part of it if that's the way it was going to be. And so I left. I left the church and I set out on my own, and the next thing I knew, I was embroiled in alcohol and smoking and gambling and all of the things that go along with that. And I think all along I did know that I had an addiction, but I was functioning. I got up, I went to work, I went out every night with the people from work, got up the next day and began the cycle all over. The other thing with addiction is it's a dirty little secret that you have. And because I was a functioning alcoholic, nobody knew that when I went home after the bar, I picked up another six pack and drank more. And so this was a way I thought that I was meeting my problems. I was escaping my childhood. I was living large. And the truth of the matter was I wasn't living at all. I didn't know how to stop it. I didn't really want to, but one day I was coming home from one of those work night parties, you could say, and I got pulled over by the police. And I knew that I was not gonna pass a breathalyzer, and indeed I didn't. Fortunately for me, and by the grace of God, there was an association with these two police officers, and they drove me home. I know that that was the very moment that I hit that rock bottom. And the shame can be a very good motivator if you're willing to embrace it. And at first, the shame was debilitating. I sunk deeper into depression. I continued to drink, but now I only drank at home. It caused trouble in my marriage, and it just led me down more bad choices. I didn't know what to do. And finally, because of that night, I kept thinking about it, and I finally reached out to a friend, because up until this point, I had been doing everything in secret. I was functioning, I was okay, right? And I reached out to a very trusted friend, and she did not hold any punches, and she got me the help that I needed. She told me, you need to get help today. We're gonna find you someone. She told me to call my doctor. I did. I spoke with my doctor about what was happening. This means that I had to be honest for the first time, not only with myself, but I had to say out loud, I have a problem. And I don't know how to fix it. I don't even think I can fix it. She gave me the name of a wonderful therapist, and that was the first time, my first appointment was the first day that I felt like, wow, I think there might be some hope here. I think that I can beat this. And so out of sheer determination and a lot of work, I did beat it. I was able to control the drinking. I stopped smoking. And yet, I fell, as they say, I fell off the wagon. There were times I would be doing so well. And just like addictions, you go right back to the thing. When something bad happens in your life, you return to the thing that you thought gave you the comfort or gave you the answers. And then another friend of mine, a friend from childhood, I was talking to her about what I was going through, and she said, "Wendy, you know what you need to do." And I knew what she meant, and she meant I needed to get back to faith. I needed to get back to the roots of my faith. And even though I didn't really know what that was, she helped me, and we started Bible studies. And it was there that I found the Jesus that I never knew existed. And He was the one who cleaned up my heart. He was the one who made me not want to drink and to smoke. And yet I still fell off the wagon. And yet that shame, and now it wasn't the shame of disappointing someone else or myself, it was the shame I disappointed Jesus, my friend, the one who I'd come to love. And then I found in His word, I didn't have to live with that shame. He would forgive me, and He was going to help me again and again if we needed to. And so it was through the Bible, through God's word, that I found the strength that I needed. I found hope. There was hope. I didn't have to be depressed. And I developed new hobbies and likes, and it totally changed my life. And so staying deep in God's word, when I feel something coming on, that depression, or I'm in a situation in my life where things aren't going well, now instead of turning to the bottle, I turn to the Bible. And it's made a complete change in my life, spiritually and in my lifestyle.
When we return, we're going to talk about the topic for today, caffeine and alcohol. Why not? Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Thank you for watching Hope Channel's production of Living Free. We invite you to purchase a copy of Vicki's book, Living Free, Finding Freedom from Habits That Hurt. This colorful, information-packed volume contains practical tools for building mental, physical, and spiritual strength while overcoming bad habits for good. Enjoy recipes and personal stories in an easy-to-read format. For more information as well as free resources, visit lifestylematters.com or call the number on your screen.
Welcome back to the program. We're going to talk about substances that are rarely viewed as drugs. Today we're asking the question, caffeine and alcohol, why not? Research on caffeine and alcohol consumption, along with long-held beliefs about reported health benefits and safety, are now under new scrutiny. You may be surprised at what the latest science and the Bible have to say about the social use of drugs. Addictive drugs have a reinforcing effect on each other, making it necessary to address all addictive substances, even socially acceptable and widely used ones. The roots of addiction are so deep and tangled, and they evolve over time, and they're different for different people. What may start as a curiosity can often become a conditioned response, then a compulsion, and ultimately a heavy chain of addiction that isolates and destroys life and health at every level. Addictions can run in families. Some are more prone to addiction than others for a variety of reasons. But thankfully, proneness is not predestination. As I mentioned in a prior episode, you may not feel that you're in a full-blown addiction, but you've taken a deep dive into a lifestyle and dredged up way more trash than treasure. And you're ready for a change. There's an empty place you've not been able to fill, and it's getting bigger. If that's the case, stay with me. God did not create you for life-destroying addictions, even socially acceptable ones. God created you for a healthy, healing relationship with Him and with others. And this need cannot be replaced with a substitute. Addictions are strong, but the weapons available to win the war against addiction are even stronger. As in any war, it's important to have a plan, a decided strategy for battle in order to achieve a decided victory over the enemy. And your enemy is that addiction. In this case, your enemies are those habits that are stealing your joy, your energy, your relationships, and your life. When it comes to the widespread use of stimulants that are socially acceptable, such as caffeine, the question is, are the perks worth the price? Is caffeine harmless, or is it an addictive drug with negative side effects? Caffeine is the world's most widely used psychoactive or mind-altering drug. Caffeine has stimulant and pain-relieving properties that can serve as a rescue medicine with certain conditions, such as migraine, but too much causes a headache. Caffeine is marketed and sold in many forms, but it's a drug, and it is addictive. Caffeine uses chemical trickery to induce a state of alertness and wakefulness that actually results in fatigue, depression, and cravings. Caffeine manipulates the brain chemical dopamine for a quick wave of energy, but then it leaves in its wake mental fog, headache, and depressed mood, even flu symptoms, creating a vicious cycle of dependency. Major sources are coffee, tea, soda, energy drinks, and certain medications. Caffeine withdrawal symptoms are similar to nicotine and include jitters, anxiety, irritability, insomnia, palpitation, and even racing thoughts. Other signs of caffeine addiction include tolerance. That means that you need more and more, and now you're not even drinking it to feel good, you're drinking it to keep from feeling bad. You're not even getting that lift anymore, and it causes cravings. You can't live without it. The fact is, a large proportion of caffeine users exhibit dependence-like behaviors, including withdrawal symptoms, with as little as one cup a day. People joke about needing their caffeine fix, but it's no joke when the headaches and other symptoms of withdrawal set in. You can get off the addiction merry-go-round. It's actually a slippery slope. Recognizing and addressing caffeine addiction is an important step in breaking the nicotine or any drug habit or behavioral habit and learning to live free. So with that in mind, let's take a closer look at alcohol consumption and ask the question, alcohol, why not? Research on alcohol intake, along with long-held beliefs about reported health benefits and safety, are under new scrutiny. You may be surprised at the latest science and what the Bible says about alcoholic drinks. Let's look at some of the long-term brain and body effects of amounts considered socially acceptable. Body and brain effects of alcohol include irritation of the digestive tract, increased risk for ulcers and pancreatitis, and increased cancers of the mouth, throat, breast, colon, and liver. In fact, a large-scale study showed that women having just 3 drinks a week significantly increased their risk of breast cancer. Alcohol is more fattening than sugar and is a major contributor to obesity. It's also damaging to liver health. Even in small amounts, alcohol damages the brain, especially the frontal lobe. It's been called a protoplasmic poison. Abstinence helps the brain recover lost function. That's a really key point, because people who have used alcohol for a long time experience shrinkage or atrophy of the brain. But after recovery, abstinence, within 2 years, that brain matter actually comes back. And so we are really grateful for God's engineering us for recovery. It has been, as I said, called a protoplasmic poison because its molecules are tiny and it's soluble in both fat and water, so they easily permeate almost all parts of the body. That's one reason why alcohol, even in small amounts, affects frontal lobe function, which involves problem solving, memory, judgment, impulse control, and behavior. Fortunately, over time, abstinence helps the brain recover memory and impulse control. This may surprise some of our viewers. The European Division of the World Health Organization has concluded that there is actually no safe level for drinking alcohol. The ideal situation for health is not to drink at all. In fact, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services no longer asserts that light drinking is beneficial. Are you surprised? You don't hear that on television. One thing I've learned over the years in the wine business, which I grew up in, is that however much a person drinks, that often becomes their definition of light drinking. And it tends to increase over time. I've seen it repeatedly. I also know from experience that it doesn't take much alcohol to alter behavior and impair good judgment. The Bible tells us this clearly. In Proverbs chapter 23, verse 32, it says, "In the end, it bites like a snake and poisons like a viper. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging." And God doesn't want you to be deceived thereby. The scriptures warn us that alcohol attacks the user with a vengeance and has the death grip of a poisonous viper. But what about that wedding feast in Cana? Jesus turned water into wine. Well, Jesus converted water into wine, but it was the pure blood of the grape at the wedding feast in Cana, not an intoxicating drink. At the wedding feast in Cana, Jesus turned multiple gallons of water into sweet, fresh juice. That's what the Greek word for wine can signify. This miracle was the signaling of Christ's entrance into public ministry to save souls from the prison house of sin and addiction and give all a new life, free on the inside. Later, when Christ instituted communion, the fresh fruit of the grape, symbolizing his blood, pointed forward to the future reward promised to his faithful followers. He says, "I will not drink at all of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God come." If this was an intoxicating beverage, how could an alcoholic take communion? How could they take the cup so freely offered to all in this symbolic service? However, the polyphenols and other compounds in grapes improve blood vessel and heart health. Grapes are high in fiber, and they help control weight, reduce the risk of heart disease, and improve eye health. It helps lower blood pressure and even helps lower insulin levels in diabetics. And it's really interesting because the resveratrol that is so highly touted as being in wine is inhibited by alcohol. It is more biologically or bioavailable in the form of pure grape juice. So dark grape juice has been found to be much more effective than alcohol-containing wine in its ability to inhibit plaque, improve lipids, and raise antioxidant levels. That spells lowering inflammation and improving brain-body health. The power is in the grapes to lower heart disease risk. These powerful antioxidants, known as polyphenols, may also slow or prevent many types of cancer, including esophageal, lung, mouth, pharynx, endometrial, pancreatic, prostate, and colon. Millions of people don't smoke or drink. Life without nicotine, caffeine, and alcohol is a great life. So work with your healthcare provider. Often there are other conditions that are associated with these addictions. Connect with others. Connect with God. Recovery from addiction of any type, whether it's nicotine, caffeine, or alcohol, does require the aggressive use of every tool in the box, physical, mental, spiritual, and social. Addressing other conditions that need treatment, such as psychiatric, emotional, or other physical disorders, this is a must. We are wired for relationships with God and each other. Addictions create a false relationship with a substance or a behavior that robs its victim of true intimacy with God and others. Connect with spiritual resources such as support groups, church, counseling, and pastoral care. Positive lifestyle choices day by day are going to encourage new nerve cell growth, increased connections between those cells, and improve cell survival. That's good news. God knows the multiple challenges that we're subject to in this broken world. He's designed a lifestyle and a plan to help you recover lost courage, lost ground, lost energy, and lost function. So remove those addiction triggers, replace with positive alternatives, and recapture the joy of purpose-filled living. Your body craves carbohydrates. Not alcohol carbohydrates, not refined sugar carbohydrates, not white bread carbohydrates, but full complex carbohydrates. That's the fuel for the brain. That's where we begin. So fight carbs with carbs. So to fight these cravings, plan fiber-rich meals. That's the Department of Defense, the produce department. Eat more raw fruits and vegetables. Focus on beans, whole grains, and legumes that are going to have a stabilizing effect on blood sugar and lower inflammation. Enjoy nuts, olives, avocados, and olive oil. These are going to make your cells more flexible, more permeable, more electric, and more conductive. So communication will be more efficient. Sugary drinks, sweets, and white flour products promote cravings and addictions. Fight sugar addiction by eating carbohydrates in their most nutritious, nutrient-filled form. Wholesome plant foods, they're the way to go. They're the major fuel source for healthy headquarters, and that's your brain. Try drinking more water. We need to flush out those toxins. Drinking water is going to reduce those withdrawal symptoms, improve circulation, flush the system of toxins. So every morning, have a little bit of extra water. Each morning and evening, take a hot and cold shower to help vivify your whole system. The Bible says that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. You'll have steps, you'll have stops, but they are ordered by the Lord, and you're going to continue to learn. The verse continues, "Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down." Think of Wendy's story. "For the Lord upholds him with his hand." Beginnings are great, endings are rewarding, but it's in the middle that we get in trouble. God is not just the author and finisher of your journey. He will also be with you in the middle. I love this promise. Come to God just as you are. Let him heal all your infirmities. Press your case to the throne of grace and let the work be thorough. He will not misapprehend or misjudge you. He saves from the guttermost to the uttermost. Your fellow men cannot absolve you from sin. They can't cleanse you from iniquity. Jesus is the one who will give you peace, and he will impart a new life to you. Submit your life to God and your thoughts and your habits to his training. If the Son will set you free, you will be free indeed. Think about the butterfly. It begins life as a caterpillar. A caterpillar basically turns into liquid in its chrysalis before it transforms into a butterfly. God wants to transform you into something brand new, something better, something beautiful for his kingdom. And at times, you may feel like you're turning into liquid in the furnace of trial. But know this, you can trust him with your life, your path, your habits. Just keep saying yes to the voice of God. After the break, we'll complete the testimony of Wendy Welch, who will join us live and give us an update. Stay tuned.
You're watching just one of 13 compelling Hope Channel episodes of Living Free. As your heart is touched with the practical teachings in this series, you may want to start your own Living Free support group. Free discussion guides correspond to each episode, along with other helpful handouts. Just visit lifestylematters.com and click on Free Resources, or call the number on your screen to learn about better habits for a better life.
Welcome back to the program. Earlier, we heard my friend Wendy's testimony, and it's amazing. And now, even better, we're going to check in with her live. Hi, Wendy.
Hi.
I'm just so glad that you're with me and that you can just give a few minutes of your time today. And as I've been thinking about what you have shared and what we've heard on this program, I want to you to share with us what's keeping you strong. What was the turning point that put you in a new path, and how do you stay on that path?
Oh, the turning point for me was just really getting intentional, number one, about getting sober. Number two, I knew that I needed prayer and lots of it. And so I started praying very specifically that God would send me godly women that I could associate with. And out of the blue, out of nowhere, he answered that prayer. It was amazing. It was so unexpected. And so I would say that's what it was, praying to be intentional and then praying, where did God want me to go? What could I fill that void with now that I was sober?
And now that that void has been filled, he just turned you right around and you're now in women's ministry leading out. How is that keeping you strong?
That's right. I have been surrounded with some wonderful godly women, and it's amazing. They're all very talented, and we get together, and in fact, we had a meeting, and we're coming up with new plans to grow women's ministry in Michigan. It's such an honor that God would pluck me out of the place that I was and put me in this new place, and he wants to use me and my experiences for his glory. And it's just, to me, it's a miracle. It's a miracle.
Absolutely incredible. And God really does want to weaponize our weaknesses and use them for his kingdom. So I'm so thankful that you've made that decision, Wendy. Many people are hearing your story. They're relating with it. And I just thank you so much for joining us today. It's an incredible opportunity. And it always reminds me of this saying, I know you've had so many struggles, but that saying holds true. No matter how you feel, you got to get up, dress up, and show up for life. And that's what you've done.
Amen. That's right.
Well, thank you so much for taking time to join us today. And thank you, folks, for joining us on this program. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for your wonderful remaking, remodeling power, that you have given us connections with you and with each other, and that you turn our weaknesses into our strengths. Thank you for Wendy's testimony. Thank you for the people out there who are going to respond to that testimony and have changes in their lives. We look forward to that great day when we can meet again. In Jesus' name, amen.